Well, I get to talk to you about Hanukkah and other stuff. So we're excited here. I'm really honored to be able to share with you this morning, and I count it as a great privilege. So hopefully you'll come away with something that you'll be able to use in your life, and it will bless you. So what is Hanukkah? How many of you know what Hanukkah is? Let me see your hands if you know what it is. A few people do. Okay. So I'm going to teach you what Hanukkah is. How do the Jewish people celebrate it today? And how is it significant for us as the church? What is this meaning to us as the church? So we're going to have a good time this morning. I'm going to teach about Hanukkah. We're going to go over and talk about this little thing. And we're going to talk about dreidels. I've got a dreidel here. We'll talk about dreidels. We even have dreidels for 25 of you. Actually, these are the kids, I think. Talk about the dreidel. So, okay, what is Hanukkah? Hanukkah is, I'm not going to use my notes, I'm doing it. Confusing. Hanukkah is the story of, it's a story of the, of a battle that occurred 165 years before Jesus was born. In 165 B.C., in the land of Judea, there rose up a wicked king. His name was Antiochus Epiphanes. And Antiochus came into the land of Israel. It was called Judea at the time. And he wanted to destroy Judaism. And he came and he said, if we find anybody studying the Bible, you're going to be killed. And a number of Jewish people were put to death because they said, you know, we're not going to bow the knee to you. Even though you kill us, we're going to still be faithful to God and do His word.
Amen.
Many, many Jews were put to death. And God raised up. And actually, in most places, when you were conquered as a people, you took on the gods, their gods, because obviously they defeated you in battle. Their gods were bigger than your gods, so it only made sense. You should worship this new set of gods. Well, most people didn't have a problem with that. Except one people, these little group, small group of people in Judea called the Jews. And they did have a problem. They said, even though you defeat us, we're not going to worship your God. We're not going to worship you as a God. We're going to worship the Lord God of Israel. So God raised up a man by the name of Judah Maccabee. And Judah Maccabee rose up and he led a revolt, a peasant revolt, against a much larger force. It'd almost be like, you know, if a very, very small little ragtag group of people defeated a much larger army. So it was something that should not have happened. But God was with Judah Maccabee and with the Jewish people. And they defeated the Assyrians. Antiochus was the head of the Assyrian army. And they defeated the Assyrians. And when they came into the temple, the temple was desecrated. Antiochus had sacrificed in the temple on the altar, had sacrificed unclean animals purposely to desecrate the temple. And so when he came there, they had to rededicate the temple. Hence, Hanukkah is known as the Festival of Lights because of the lights, and I'll tell you about that. It's also called the Feast of Rededication because of the rededicating of the temple after it had been profaned by Antiochus and his troops. So they came in 165 B.C. and they rededicated the temple. And when they got there, there is in the temple a light. And the light in Hebrew is called the Ner Adonai, the light of the Lord. And it's eternal flame that's supposed to always be lit. And there was only enough oil, consecrated, dedicated oil in the temple to last for one day. So they lit the candle, the Ner Adonai in the temple, and then they went and they had to go and get new oil, fresh oil that would be dedicated to the Lord, and it was 8 days until they could get the new oil. But a miracle occurred, and what was that miracle? That oil that should have lasted for one day lasted 8 days. That's why there are 8 days of Hanukkah. Because the oil, there's a miracle. And there's been many, many times, as you know, when you read the scriptures, where oil was multiplied. This was another time where God multiplied the oil because because he wanted to show himself strong for the people of Israel. So the oil lasted for 8 days. That's why there are 8 days of Hanukkah. So he went to the temple. Now, did Jesus celebrate Hanukkah? Well, it says in John 10:22 that Jesus, it was in the winter time, and Jesus went to the temple during the feast of dedication. In John 10:22. That refers to Hanukkah. Now, where is Hanukkah? Is Hanukkah found in the Bible? Well, it's found right there. John 10:22 says, at that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. So that's the Hanukkah celebration. The story of Hanukkah you find in what's called the Apocrypha, which is a set of books, which is not scripture, but yet they're godly books, the Apocrypha. And in 1st and 2nd Maccabees is where you find the story of Hanukkah, the Hanukkah story. So, again, Jesus was at the temple during the Feast of Dedication. We have the 8 candles. Now, most of you were all watching, looking at this, and you go, yeah, there's not 8 candles, there are 9. Well, actually, there are only 3, but there's place for 9 candles. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And how come you said there's 8 days? And you were all thinking, what's the other candle? What's the 9th candle for? You know, that's a very good question. What is it? This is called the Shamus, or the servant candle. And I'm going to now, a little later on, let me just pull it out there. Stuck. This is the Shamus candle or the servant candle. Now, when I light the candles a little later, I'm going to say the prayer, the traditional Hebrew prayer that's said by Jews all over the world, and I'm going to light the Shamus first. Then I'm going to light the individual days. I am not going to light the light directly on the individual days. Now, why are there 2 candles? Because tonight is actually the 2nd night of Hanukkah. It began last night, today is the 1st day of Hanukkah. Why is it started at nighttime? Well, according to Jewish tradition and to the Bible, the day actually begins in the evening at sundown. It was evening and it was morning, the 1st day, Genesis, evening and morning the 1st day. So, for example, Hanukkah began last night at sundown, and the 1st day goes till tonight, and then from tonight till tomorrow night will be the 2nd day. And how we would do this in a Jewish home, as I was growing up, the 1st day you would light 1 candle, you'd light the Shamus, and then 1 candle. The 2nd day, you'd light the Shamus, and then the 1st and the 2nd, until the last night of Hanukkah when all 8 candles would be lit. Okay. So again, the Jewish holidays always begin on the nighttime. That's where the Jewish Sabbath, or Shabbat, begins on Friday night, and ends on Saturday night. So that's just, you know, that's how that is. So, we're going to... So the Shamus. So let's talk about the Shamus. The Shamus is the servant candle. Now, if you were a candle and you said, you know, I don't want to go through the servant candle. I just want to get lit right from the source. You know what? You're not going to get lit. You have to allow the servant to minister to you. Now, how does that relate to us as Christians? Jesus said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. Jesus is truly the servant. He's the one that we get the light from.
Amen.
So that's the story to me of what the Shamus means. You have to have the servant. You have to have the servant minister to you in order to get the light. And so I'm going to go ahead and light the candles now just because I do it. I'm like the present, right? I'm going to say the prayer in Hebrew. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam Asher kedishanu b'mitzvotav Vitzivanu lahadlik ner shel Hanukkah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam Sha'asa nisim lavoseinu Vayamim chalachim shel Hanukkah. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to kindle the Hanukkah lights. So Hanukkah has become a major holiday in truth because in the Western world, Christians have Christmas, you know? So Jewish kids, they have to have something. So Hanukkah became a big holiday. What can I say? It's true. And as a Christian, you get presents one day. As Jewish kids, we got presents for 8 days. So as a Jewish kid growing up, it was 8 times better to be Jewish than to be a Christian. It's true. Actually, in the old days, Jews used to exchange gifts during Hanukkah. It was more giving fruit and candies, or it was just, as Christmas, I'm sure years ago in olden times, and Christmas was more celebrating Jesus than it was, running out getting gifts like we all do nowadays. But anyway, that's okay. We don't mind that. So, we also have, during Hanukkah time, Jewish people, our kids, play with a thing called a dreidel. And a dreidel is it's actually a game, and on it are 4 Hebrew letters. The letters Nun, Gimel, He, and Shin. And they stand for the Hebrew words Nus Gadol Hayasham, which is a great miracle happened there. What was that great miracle? The great miracle is that a much smaller band, a ragtag army of peasants, overcame a much larger army and preserved the Jewish people. It also is symbolic that the oil, which should have lasted for one day, lasted for 8 days. So that great miracle in Hebrew is nus, a nus gadol, a large miracle happened there. So, and then what you do when you play it, you spin the dreidel, and if it falls on different things, it means different things. For a shin, you play for peanuts or candy or little whatever, and it's actually kind of a gambling game is what it is. Like Jewish crap, but anyway, it's the truth. You heard it right here. It's true. But anyway, so the dreidel is very, very, it's a wonderful thing, and but it's a mnemonic to remember, to remind us that a great miracle did happen there. Now, what's interesting to note, and I said, Anus Gadol, miracle great, Haya Sham, happened there. In Israel, the dreidels have instead of a Sham, which is there, they have the Hebrew letter Pei, which is Pol, which has happened here. Great miracle happens here in Israel. So that's interesting to know. So we all have dreidels afterwards. Feel free to come get dreidels for your kids or for yourselves if you want one. So that is the dreidels. Okay. I did write this down. It's all Jewish holidays consist of the following 3 things. We were persecuted. And you know where the persecution really came from was the devil. And in the case of the Hanukkah story, the devil wanted to wipe out the Jewish people, and he also wanted to wipe out Jesus even before he was born, just as he did with Herod trying to kill all the children of Bethlehem. But God delivered the Jewish people. He raised up a deliverer. So anyway, the basic synopsis, if you want to have a synopsis of Jewish holidays, is this. We were persecuted. God delivered us. Let's see. So that's the synopsis of all Jewish holidays. Okay, so let's talk a little bit, because I've got to talk a little longer, and I want to teach you a little about Judaism, okay? Where did Jews come from? First, what do the Jews believe? Jews believe what's called the Tanakh, or the Jewish Bible. The Jewish Bible is comprised of 3 things. The Torah, which is the first 5 books, or it's also called the Law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, that's the Torah. When Jesus said, the law and the prophets speak of me, he was speaking of the Torah when he said the law. The next thing is the Tanakh. The next would be the Nevi'im, or the end would be the Nevi'im, which is the prophets. And the last would be the writings, which would be the Ketuvim. To write in Hebrew is Ketuv, to write. So the Psalms, Proverbs, 1st and 2nd Kings, anything that is not the Torah and is not one of the prophets would be part of the writings. So the Jewish people, that's what the Jews believe. That is the Jewish Bible, the Tanakh. The Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Ketuvim. The 1st 5 books, which is also called the Pentateuch, because it's 5, and Pente is is five, like the Pentagon is a five-sided building. So the Pentateuch is the same as the Torah, or is the same as the law, right? So the term Jew, where does the term Jew come from? Jew actually comes from the tribe of Judah. There were 10 northern tribes that went to apostasy or carried off, and then there were the two southern tribes, and the major southern tribe was Judah. That's where the term Jew comes from, the tribe of Judah. So the Messiah, who is the Messiah? Is there mention of the Messiah in the Jewish faith? There is. Jewish people understand or believe that there will come a Messiah who will come to redeem them. During the Passover, and I spoke here I think last time about Passover, during the Passover ceremony, there's in the middle of the Passover celebration in the home, you open the door and you sing a song which is about Elijah, who's going to come and prepare the way for the Messiah, the son of David. So in the Jewish faith, there's this understanding. It's kind of foggy and it's not really clear. What is this Messiah? What's he going to do? But we do know the Messiah is the son of David. So as a Jewish kid growing up, I didn't believe in Jesus. I didn't really know anything about Jesus. I really had no desire to understand because I was happy within my Judaism. But a Christian came and shared with me and basically said, "Have you been saved?" And I said, "Saved? No. I'm Jewish. We're the chosen people. You know, we don't have to be saved." He said, "No, well, you can be saved and you should be saved." So even though, you know, I was being somewhat glib, I knew that deep inside, as every person, there's something missing until you're born again. There's a missing piece. Things just aren't working.
That's right.
Something's in here that just is not right. And if you're honest with yourself, if you realize that something is wrong, people try to fill that gap with stuff. They fill it with success. They fill it with all kinds of things, and yet it doesn't satisfy. It does not satisfy. You don't have to look very far to realize that. You can see people who are, maybe they're like celebrity types, and they're like, they're making bajillions of dollars, and yet they're escaping. What are they escaping from? Why are they miserable? In fact, I just read the other day, and I don't need to pick on any celebrities, but I read about a rock star, and the rock star suffers from depression. Suffers from depression. And I understood why. Because here he is, he's up in front of tens of thousands of people in arenas around the world, and he's been doing this for 20, 30 years. And these people are adoring him. They're just, you know, if he says, "Everybody raise your hand," everybody's hands are up. You know, not like church, you know, where the pastor says, "Raise your hand," you go. You go to a rock concert, the guy says, "Raise your hand," boom, the hands are up, you know. So here he's got this crowd, these crowds of throughout the country, throughout the world, and he goes like this, and everybody's going like that with him because he's this kind of this semi-god up there, but he's depressed because he knows that he's empty inside. Even though he's got all the money in the world and all the fame, and this, you multiply that rock star times so many, isn't that true? Because without that solidification inside that you know that God loves you. Not because of what you do, not because of who you are, but because you're his child and he wants to have a relationship with you. Now, maybe you're here because church, if you're here, as I was one time in a church and didn't know Jesus, if you've never received Jesus, later on, Pastor Tony will give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Savior. If you've still got that, and what, to me, the most important question is, do you know where you will go when you leave this earth? When you die, do you know? And most people will answer that question with, "I hope so. I hope so." Well, no, hoping so and knowing so are two different things. If you don't know for sure, and as a young Jewish kid in college, somebody came up to me and asked me that question, "Do Do you know where you'll go when you die? And I said, I don't know. And he said, can I share with you? I know you're Jewish, but can I share how you could know where you'll go when you die? And I said, sure, I'm willing to listen. And he shared with me scriptures that grab hold of my heart. And I'm going to share these scriptures with you for yourself, and also if you maybe know somebody who's Jewish in your work or in your neighborhood, or as you meet a Jewish person and the Lord impresses, you can share and plant these seeds. Sometimes as Christians we want to plant full-grown trees, but Jesus said we should sow seed. Seed is little, just a little bitty scripture. And that's all it took for me. One scripture is Micah 5:2. As a Jewish kid growing up, nobody ever talked to me about the prophet Micah, but I knew it was in the Tanakh, the prophets. Micah 5:2 says this, Bethlehem, you're a little bitty city, but the ruler whose goings forth are from everlasting is going to come from you. In other words, the Messiah. And if you studied a little bit, it makes sense because as the Messiah, all I know about the Messiah, he's the son of David, Mashiach ben David. And if you do a little bit of study, you realize David, where was his hometown? It was Bethlehem. So Micah, the prophet, tells us the Messiah will come from Bethlehem. Another scripture that I shared with me is Isaiah 9:6. Unto us, unto the people of Israel, a child is born, and a son is given. And one of the names of this son is given is, in Hebrew, the word is El Gibor, which is mighty God. I didn't learn that in Hebrew school when I grew up. When I was studying to be bar mitzvah, when I was 13, nobody ever told me, oh, there's going to come somebody, one of the names of this child that's born is going to be mighty God. I didn't know that. Another scripture was shared with me is Isaiah 7:14, which is which is a virgin shall give birth, and his son shall be named Emmanuel, God with us. I didn't know there was going to be a virgin birth, but that's in the Jewish Bible. Those few scriptures were shared with me, and it went deep in my heart, like a seed. And I thought about them, I pondered them. I knew there was something missing. And again, if you've never received Jesus, you know there is something missing in there. You might be very successful, you might be, or you might not be. It doesn't matter where you are. We all need Jesus.
That's right.
You know, there are people that are down and outers, and then there's up and outers. No. Whichever one you are, you need Jesus. And I wanted that assurance. So those are just some scriptures that you could share for yourself and also with, especially with Jewish people. Why don't Jewish people believe in Jesus? Well, this is interesting. I believe this, that Israel, according to Romans chapter 9 to 11, Israel shall come to know their Messiah. And it comes when the scripture says when the time of the Gentiles or non-Jews is fulfilled. That will come. But I think we're right now in that time frame. Can I give you a date? Like now they've got the Mayan calendar. I think the world ends in about 2 weeks, right? I don't think that's happening, you know. So I can't give you a specific date. And anybody that does is not right. But we do know the signs of the times. And I do believe we are in the end of times. Why do I say that? Because Israel became a nation after being in exile for 2,000 years. In 1948, Israel became a Jewish nation again after 2,000 years of exile. That's significant. Israel is God's timepiece. So we know we're in that time frame. We're in the end of times. It could happen next week. It could happen in 20 years. I don't know. But one thing I do know, this is my end of times.
That's right.
I've only got a few years left. Could be 40, could be 30. And then I'm going to meet my maker. And when I leave this earth, there's what I want to hear is I trust you. Want to hear is, well done, good and faithful servant.
Amen.
God's given each of us a job to do. God called you to be a whatever he's called you to be, to do it with your whole heart. Does that mean we should all be preachers? I don't think so. That means it'd be pretty goofy. You know, God's called you to be a truck driver, and you go, I want to be a preacher. You know what? You'd be out of God's will. And when you get up to heaven, the Lord said, I called you to drive a truck. What were you doing in front of a pulpit? Right? Well, the preacher, everybody knows the preacher's name. Yeah? So what? Obey God. Do what God's called you to do. Get after it. And I'm telling myself that too. It's not like I do it 100% of the time. But that's my endeavor. My desire is to serve God with what God's called me to do.
Amen.
Okay? And thank God for his mercy and his grace. Can I hear an amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
I was going to talk about the shedding of blood because that's very important. In the Torah, it says in the book of Leviticus, the 17th chapter, 11th verse, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And again, that refers to we have to have a blood atonement. The blood atonement is something that God has set up. And the blood that ultimately cleanses us is the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Messiah. Jesus gave his blood for us. Cop an attitude. You know what that means, cop an attitude? Cop an attitude? You know, sometimes kids have attitudes. Just very good sometimes. But we should have an attitude. And the attitude, see, I grew up, I had an attitude that I was chosen, one of the chosen people. And I had an attitude. And in a sense, they know it's true, but we're all chosen of God. Because you can't come to Jesus unless he calls you. And when you become a child of God, and there's a concept that I never understood. We know we're sinners. That's a given. Tell me something I don't know. Right? We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glory. But God sent his son that we could become children of God. He's called us. So by that, when your kid's hungry, does he kind of come up to you sheepishly and go, I'm really hungry, can I have something to eat? Does your child do that?
No.
He comes, and I'm hungry, Mom, what's for dinner? Or he'll run to the fridge, or he'll go get a cookie or whatever, you know? Kids don't have an attitude that they don't belong in the house. They belong there. They act like they own the place, don't they? Right? That's how we should be with Father God. We are children of God. We can come boldly before his throne to receive mercy, to receive grace to help in time of need.
Man.
Not kind of, well, I've sinned. Really? You must be the only one. No, we've all sinned. But yet God sent us up. Not to be cavalier, not to be flippant about sin, because we need to treat sin seriously. We also need to treat God's grace and mercy and loving kindness seriously too. And when God says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful to separate your sins as far as the east is from the west. That is the truth. And if you come before God with kind of a woe be gone, I'm miserable, I'm slimy, I can't, you know, I've failed, I've repented of the sin, get help, but keep coming before God's presence to receive mercy. And just like if you went to a house and you saw a kid that was, you know, kind of, I don't deserve to eat because I was bad. You know, you'd have questions about the parents, wouldn't you? You go, what are you teaching your kid? What's going on here? You know. And if you could, you'd want to say, kid, come on, this is your house. You know. So you too, come boldly before God's throne, receive God's grace and mercy. Cop an attitude that you're beloved of God,
Amen.
That you're chosen of God. And the fact that as a Jew, you know, I am one of the chosen people, but you know what? As a believer in Jesus, you're chosen too. Just as chosen. There used to be a dividing wall. In fact, it says in Ephesians chapter 2. There was a dividing wall between the Jew and the non-Jew. It was a strict barrier. And you who were not Jews were outside of God's grace. You were not. In fact, we can read it here. I guess we'll say there's bad news and good news, okay? What's the bad news? The bad news is found in Ephesians 2:12. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded, and strangers. You were separate, excluded, and strangers. We're having no hope and without God. I'd say that's pretty bad news. But that's the bad news. But what's the good news? But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He himself is our peace, who made both groups, the Jews and non-Jews, into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law or the Torah, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. And then in Ephesians 3, it says, verse 6, to be specific, that non-Jews or Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body, fellow partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. So that's the good news.
Amen.
So there's no longer first and second class citizens. We're all one in Christ. I've been around, I've been a believer for a long time, a number of years, and I've seen churches that have such a heavy Jewish emphasis that it's almost there's like two classes of people. And I don't agree with that. It's not biblical. The two classes are Jews and non-Jews, even in the church. There's no longer two classes. There are believers, Jews and Gentiles, one in Christ.
Amen.
We all have access through the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And that is good news. So we can come boldly. We can cop an attitude. You can even light Hanukkah candles if you like. Right? Okay. So we plant seeds. I gave you the scriptures I gave you. That's enough to get somebody saved. Jewish person, non-Jewish person too. And then I'm going to teach you a couple Hanukkah songs, okay? So, let me get this guitar over here. Here we go. So in conclusion, let me, thanks for this guitar, by the way. Somebody let me borrow it. So let's talk about, in conclusion, we have Hanukkah, which lasts for 8 days. We have the Shamus, and we have this called the menorah. We have the Shamus, which is a servant candle. To get lit, you've got to go through the Shamus. You've got to let Jesus, who is the servant, light your life. If you need Jesus, again, Pastor Tony will share with us afterwards, but Jesus is the answer. There's no other. No other name given whereby men can be saved.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. We've got the dreidel. Dreidel talks about the great miracle that happened. The great miracle is that the light lasted for 8 days, that the Jewish people were preserved as a people. And the great miracle is that the light can get inside of you. That this little light of yours can be lit by Jesus, the Savior. That's the good news. There's a, first I'll sing you the dreidel song, okay? I had a little dreidel, I made it out of clay, and when it's dry and ready, oh dreidel I shall play. Oh dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay, dreidel, 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 dreidel I shall play. My dreidel is so playful, with legs so short and thin, it drops when it's tired, and then I win. Dreidel, 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 I made it out of play. Dreidel, 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 I shall play. That's the dreidel song. And the next one is Rock of Ages. Very traditional Jewish. Rock of Ages, let our song praise thy saving power. Thou amidst the raging flood wast our sheltering tower. Furious they assailed us, but thy might availed us. Get this. And thy word broke their sword when our own strength failed us. And thy word broke their sword when our own strength failed us. It's called Moa Tzur, Rock of Ages. And that's true for us too. When our strength fails, God's word saves us.
Amen.
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 Okay, well, happy Hanukkah, everybody. Okay.
Give him a hand. Close our service momentarily by receiving the Lord's communion here. And before we do, I'd like to just extend an invitation to the congregation. I was thinking, as Jeff was sharing with us about what Hanukkah is, how these things, these stories are epic in nature. And they tend to repeat themselves over the generations. And I think that even in our lives, in your life, in my life, we can have an evil king that would come against us. That it speaks of opposition. 165 years before Jesus was born, this evil king, Antiochus?
Correct.
Antiochus Epiphanes. Is an evil king, and he decides, this evil king decides, I hate God, I hate everything to do with God, I hate everything to do with the Jews, everything to do with the Bible, and it's put in the heart of this evil king to destroy the Jews, to destroy the people of God. And it occurs to me that there could be a kind of Antiochus in your life. In my life, there is an enemy who hates God and hates the light of God, hates the truth of God, hates the people of God. And so this enemy comes against our lives just like Antiochus did, and his intention is to perpetrate harm upon us, to perpetrate pain and confusion and disorientation and fear and sin and brokenness and depression and poverty and hunger and all these bad things. And maybe you're in a place in your life where you feel like you're surrounded by Antiochus. Jeff spoke of having a kind of empty place in your heart, an empty place in your soul, in your life, where we intuitively sense there must be more. I'm missing something. Something is missing from my life. I've got a house. I have a family. I've got a job. I have money. I have a level of success. I have these different things, and yet I sense an emptiness in the center, the epicenter of my life. Something is wrong. And isn't it beautiful that in the story of Hanukkah, we learn something of who God is, the heart of God, the mind of God, the purposes of God, to bring redemption and salvation to his people. And so what does God do? God sits idly by. He's sitting up in heaven, and he's looking down at the earth, and here's his people, the Jewish people, the people that are called by God. And they have a house of worship. It's called the temple, where they come and they make their sacrifices and they sing and they make offerings and they worship their God. And this evil king Antiochus comes and he busts into the back doors of the temple and he desecrates the temple, and his intention is to squash God, to put the light of God out. But God doesn't sit idly by in heaven as if God doesn't care. No, God raises up salvation. God raises up life. God raises up redemption. So he calls for this Christ figure, Judah Maccabees, a peasant, a Jewish peasant with no strength, no arms. He gathers together a ragtag team of peasants, and they go to the temple to defend the temple, to say, we believe in God. God is with us. Even though, King, you are mighty and you have chariots and armies, and you've come to oppose us and to perpetrate harm upon us and destroy our church and destroy our temple. But Judah gets in the temple, and they're defending the temple there. And in the temple, there's a light that's supposed to burn 24 hours a day. And because of this battle that's going on, there's no oil to light the light. There's no oil, so the light's going to go out. They have enough oil for one day. And somehow, through a miracle of God, the candles burned for 8 days. As a physical metaphor, a physical manifestation of the blessing of God and the presence of God, as if God is saying from heaven, I am with you, my people. I love you. I have not abandoned you. And God brings forward this miracle of the light. And then later in the New Testament, we learn that Jesus is the light of the world. And as Jeff has shared, that this middle candle, the shamus, represents the servant candle. And so this candle is lit. And then through the servant, Jesus, the light of the world, God intends to bring the light of God from Jesus to me, from Jesus to you, if we will but open our heart and open our life and let the light of the world, Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, to come into my heart to bring the light of God. And we can experience this miracle. We can experience a miracle of the light of God ourselves. So, do you realize your need for Christ this morning? I'd like to pray if we could bow our heads and close our eyes. And I just would like to extend an invitation just before we come to receive communion. If you're in a place like Jeffrey was when he shared that he intuitively knew something is missing from my heart, something is missing from my life, do you realize your need for God this morning? Do you realize your need for Christ, the Son of God? Do you realize your need for the light of the world to come into your heart and to shine? You can do business with God this morning. This is church. We come here to do business with God. And you don't even have to pray out loud. In the silence of your own heart and mind, you can cause a transaction, a spiritual transaction to occur between you and God. If you will say a simple prayer, and I like to boil it down to a common denominator, so simple we believe the Bible teaches that a child can say this prayer to God. Four words. Jesus, be my Savior. Jesus, be my Savior. Will you ask Jesus to be your Savior this morning? Will you open your heart to the light of the world, Jesus Christ? If you have more questions, we'd be very happy to talk with you, to try to answer questions, to visit with you, to pray with you, to help you in any way that we can in your journey toward God. Father, we thank you for the miracle of Hanukkah. We thank you that you are a God who comes to our defense and our rescue and our redemption when our back is against the wall and when the enemy, Antiochus, is coming and our lives are surrounded by chaos and crazy and fear and a kind of conflict. But Lord, that in the midst of that, you come to us, you don't forsake us, and you provide a miracle for us, and you bring us the light. And we open ourselves to that light this morning. We give you thanks, God, as we participate in this holy table this morning. We rejoice in what these elements represent, the broken cracker, which represents the broken body of our Savior, and the cup, which represents his shed blood. Thank you so much for the broken body of Jesus, for his shed blood, as Jeff shared, the blood of Jesus that takes away the sins of the world. We receive this table this morning with joy and with thanksgiving and with faith and with celebration. We praise you, God. We bless you, God. We reverence you, God. We exalt you, God. We give thanks to you, God. We worship you, Lord. Receive our worship at this time, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Bob, as the band comes forward, they're going to lead us in a worship song, and the congregation will be very welcome to come forward. You can receive the communion elements, go back to your chair, and serve yourself communion as we worship God. God bless you.
Amen.